All right, so we're beginning on the bottom of Tetvav Amud Bet, where we're beginning with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is really the continuation of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. Yesterday's Mishnah discussed the Konim issue, meaning that when it's done by Lashon Neder, and then we had unveiled references, a number of references in yesterday's Daf, that the next Mishnah was about Shavuah. So now this is the next Mishnah, which is the same exact items, but done Derech Shavuah instead of Derech Neder. So that's the Mishnah start. Shavuah she'eni yashan. So a person takes a Shavuah that he will not sleep, right? Or she'eni medaber, that I will not speak. She'eni mahalech, or I will not walk. Asur. All of those work as a Shavuah. Now this is a lot easier. Here, Shavuah is a lot easier than we saw with Neder, because you don't need a Davar Sheyesh Bo Mamash, right? So now you can talk about intangible items. Talking about intangible items, it's easy to understand what the Shavuah is about. And number two is, as opposed to yesterday, where it was the Mishnah ended about Lo Yechel Devaro, which one of the explanations for why it says Lo Yechel Devaro is Ma Ba Yechel, according to Ravina, is Midirabanan. That's only Asur Midirabanan. Here, you're going to be Asur Midil Raisa. In a Torah, it's going to be restricted because of the Shavuah that you took. All right. The Karban, lo echel lecha. Ha-Karban, shochel lecha. Lo-Karban, lo echel lecha, mutar. All of those do not work. Okay, all of those expressions are not valid expressions of Neder, and therefore they do not work. So, Mani Masnisin, who's the author of our Mishnah? What? I'm sorry? Yeah. The last three items here don't work because, those are nedar. They're neder and they don't work because they're inappropriate lashonos of neder. Right, so the Mishnah gave three examples of Shavuah and then it switches out karbon. Karbon in general is a lashon neder. Right, not lashon Shavuah because karbon is using hadpasa. Right, and therefore it's a lashon neder and they don't work. So now the Gemara is going to ask, now we should ask in almost every Mishnah we've seen so far, Mani Masnizan, who's the author of our Mishnah? Where it says, Rabbi Meir, the author of the Mishnah must be Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Huda, right? Lo shanlei karban, lo shanlei ha karban. Right? So we know that Rabbi Yehuda requires, in order for it to work, he needs ki karban, right? He needs the kafa dimyo. And then otherwise, he doesn't karban, ha karban, all these other lishonos are not meaningful to Rabbi Huda. Those distinctions are only relevant inside of Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir's opinion is that you don't always need the kafa dimyon, and therefore there will be a difference between ha-karban and karban. So, ema seifa. Now, what are you going to do with the seifa? It says, ha-karban lo achelach mutar. Right? And it says, right, we said, ha-karban lo achelach mutar, that works, but it's not. So this is what we ask every time we ask when Rabbi Meir's the author of the Mishnah. But it's not. We have Mishnah, ha-karban lo achelach oser. So we had above. We already had that. If it says lo karban lo chel lecha, right? Then it works, right? So why does it work? Because I'm a Rabbi Abba Nasik Omer le karban yehi. It should be like a karban restricted. Lefika lo chel lecha. That's how we interpret the statement of Rabbi Meir, and that's why it's usher in that case. So why don't we say a similar thing over here in our Mishnah? Why don't we say karban lo chel lecha? Why doesn't that work over here, whereas the karban over there works? So when it says, well, that's a difference in what you say. Lo kasha, adamar le karban. Adamar lo karban. So lo havi karban kamar. So not literally that he said lo karban, but this is again the difference that we've noted in a number of places, that is a lamed with a shva versus a lamed with a patach. So in the Mishnah where Rabbi Meir believes that it's le karban lo chalucha is asur, that's with a shva for a karban. Right, and therefore, aloha chalucha, for aloha chalucha. Whereas if you said la karban, right, with a patach under the lamed, that really means lo karban. Right, and when he means lo karban, lo chalucha, we know that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you can't infer. Right, there's no such thing as an inference of one to the other. Inference of lav lahain, hain lalav. So therefore over here too, right, you can't say lo karban, lo chalucha, which implies what? That what I do eat should be a karban, and therefore it won't work according to Rabbi Meir. And that's why in our Mishnah it is mutar. Okay, so this is a similar type of, or a similar item that we've seen in other places. Okay. Um, Okay. So just to note about Rabbi Meir's opinion, I'm assuming because the way the Ron writes it, I'm assuming it's worth doing it here. Okay, here. If you look in the Ron, right, the Ron on the flip side here, the Ron just points out, he's mentioned it earlier on also, that Rabbi Meir's opinion that, I mean, Lav Tashmoy Hain or Shemeir, or either way, that the inference issue was only an issue within Nidarim. It's not an issue within Shavua. And why is that it's only an issue within Nidarim and not in Shavua? That's because Rabbi Meir believes that you can't make this inference of positive to negative or negative to positive when it comes to Dabar B'Mamon. It has to do with anything that is a Mamon issue. But if it's an Isura issue, if it's an issue of Isur, then even Rabbi Meir admits that you can make such inferences of Lav and Hain. So the Ron draws a distinction between a Shavua and a Nether. That Rabbi Meir will allow inferences by Shavua and not by Nether. Okay, so I'm going to put that out. We're going to do the next Mishnah, and then we'll go and read this Ron about this issue. Okay? So here, next Mishnah is Shavua lo echal lecha, ha-Shavua she'ochal lecha, lo Shavua lo echal lecha asur. So he says, Shavua lo echal lecha, or he says, a Shavua that I will eat, lo Shavua lo echal lecha asur. Now, if Rabbi Meir is the author of the previous Mishnah, right, and it would imply that he's the author of this Mishnah, then why is it different? The last Mishnah said if you say lo karban lo echal lecha, that's mutar. And over here, if you say lo Shavua lo echal lecha, it's asur. They're exactly the same lashon, except one's using Shavua and one's using Neder. And if Rabbi Meir's the author, we said before, Rabbi Meir doesn't believe in, right, inferring positive or negative. So therefore, lo korban lo chelucha is mutar because it doesn't work. Then how come over here by lo Shavua lo chelucha asur? It works. So why by Shavua does it work? Why by Neder does it not work? And that's what I was just describing, that there's a distinction between, for Rabbi Meir, between Shavua and Neder. We see that now inside in the Ron. If you look across from where it says Tosafot in the on the left side there, see it says Tosafot. Ron right across from there is Venira Be'enai. Venira Be'enai. Right across from where the Tosafot are, it says Venira Be'enai. Okay, you see that in the Ron? That's it.
Orientation.
Oh, you guys have different setups. I'm sorry. Let's try it this way then.
No, but see,
across from the Rush. Across from the Rush. It's the same place. Actually, the Rush. If you on the other side. Venir Be'enai, about where the Rush is, also right across in the Ron. Venir Be'enai. Venir Be'enai. Mm-hmm.
Third of the way down.
Venir Be'enai. Alright. Venir Be'enai. Dehainu taima, what's the reasoning? Mishum dehama skin and so perkish was it. Dechiles le the Rabbi Meir michlav la vatashumehain. When do we say by Rabbi Meir that you cannot make an inference, a positive or negative inference? Adi mila bin mamona. That's only in monetary issues. Inami. Bisura de isbe mamona, or an isur that has some sort of monetary outcome. Aval bisura greida isle. But if it's just plain isur, Rabbi Meir allows such things. So this is an important line in the Ron. Vinidarim, nidarim are a type of isura de isbe mamona ninhu. Right? Nidarim are an isur that has monetary implications. Why? Mishum delam mishkachas behu belo chetza. Right? Because a neder must have a chepetz, and since it must have a chepetz, Ryan said, automatically assumes that it must also be, have some sort of mamon aspect to it. Right? Because you can't have a nether that is, has traction or works with something that is not mamashit, that's not of tangible essence, right? If it's intangible, the nether doesn't work. A shvuah is an isra on the gabra. Right? That's nothing to do with the chayfetz. It's the gabra himself who's restricted. Shukal begufo. It gave into Isur greater than Inu, since it's simply Isur, and has no mamon aspect to it, has no chefetz aspect to it, afila Rabbi Meir Moda. Darmina behu mechlal la'avatav shumeihein. So that's how the Ron distinguishes between these two Mishnayos, between Neder and Shavua. Why the one, could the Rabbi Meir can be the author even and say no inference, and then the second one he can be the author and say there is an inference. Yeah, but those you have to add in. He has to use his eyes. I mean,
okay,
he has to
but what's the shayfetz to mamon over there?
He's saying that a chayfet, an object, as soon as it's placed on an object, then the object is, becomes mamon. I'm saying, I don't think, it's a difficult issue, but he says it, Tosafot says it also, all the Rishonim have to distinguish here, because the mission itself is authored by Rabbi Meir, and you see the exact opposite conclusion. This is the distinction that they make, that Nidarim have a more of a mamon aspect to them because of this chayfet, that they have to be on an actual object. I understand what you're saying.
You could say, I mean, just, Torah says, ayin tachas ayin shein tachas shein, where it's clearly, that's clearly a monetary issue, that we do say that when you look at an ayin in that context, it's got a monetary... Okay.
No, but then there's the shim, guys, noder his shimush with his wife.
Hey.
Where, you know...
How does that upset?
It has to do with the ksuba and divorce, you know, that type of thing. So one can say that, I guess.
It's not simple. It's not the simplest explanation. I agree with you. Just because, you could ask the question just because it's attached.
That's actually harder. The chavetz itself doesn't.
No, but it has an effect. It has a repercussion with respect to the ksuba.
I would just say, I understand. Your question is a good question because why should, even if it falls on a chavetz, why should that be mamon? Meaning that's not.
Mamon has a meaning.
Right, has a meaning. And then a shavua and an ether can have equal impact in terms of monetary matters, meaning that they don't have. It's not that one has more monetary aspects, and just because it's on a chayfetz, why does that make it mamon? But that's the way they show them here, distinguishing between neder and shvua. That by having it placed on a chayfetz, that really changes its dynamic to being something that is, since it's on a tangible item, therefore it is not just Easter, it has some sort of mamon aspect to it. I think it's a fair question. I don't think it's an easy distinction or an easy slice.
And what is the relevance to the actual approach? I mean, okay, so he says, Miklal avatar shemei hein, by things that are not mama. Why?
I mean, why does he only say it by, because he learns that from Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, I guess, which implied those were about Yerusha.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that it has to do with mama. I'm assuming where they get that distinction from. All right. Now, so the Gemara says, Miklal. So from our Mishnah, this Mishnah about Shavua, you could say, Miklal. What? I'm sorry? After the second Mishnah. The Gemara, right after the second Mishnah?
We need to do the Mishnah.
I did it, but we'll do it again. No problem. I will not eat from you. That I will eat from you. Lo shvua, lo echalach, asur. All of these are asur. So each of these works. One is shvua, lo echalach. That's easy, right? I'm taking shvua, that I will not eat from you. Hashvua, we said by carbon, does not work. We say ha korban. Why? Because we say there that you are taking the neder b'chayei ha korban, right, in the life of the korban, which is not shech. But shvua, there's no such thing. It's chayei ha shvua. What do you mean? Ha shvua. But the chayei ha shvua, that doesn't mean it. It's meaningless here. So it must mean that you're taking ha shvua means the shvua, like we would say with ha shvua, where we said ha korban with the hey, not hey aleph. Works. So the same thing here. That works. Lo shvua. That works. Lo shvua. Lo chalach. Which we said, Robin, that you're inferring. It will not be for a shvua, that which I do not eat from you, which means that which I do eat from you will be under a shvua and is asur. Michal, you can infer from a Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? Hashvua sh'ochalcha. Right? You should have said the second example in the Mishnah, the first example in our Mishnah is shvua lo achalcha. Thing is shvua, I will not eat from you. Then you say, once you say the next line should say, Hashvua lo chalacha? Hey, also, this is a shvua that I will not eat from you. Why is it termed in the positive? Hashvua sho chalacha. This is a shvua that I will eat from you. What does that mean? Bechlal, the Hashvua sho chalacha, the lo achilna mashma. Sounds like that next line of the Mishnah means, when I say shvua sho chalacha, means that I will not eat from you. But you said it, you formulated it in the positive, and yet it's going to mean that I will not eat from you. Viraminu, is that really true? Shavua, shtayim shein ba'arba, sh'ochel v'shelo achel, sh'achalti v'shelo achalti. Right, so here, when the Mishnah in Shavua talks about Shavua shein, shtayim shein arba, it gives examples. I will eat, I will not eat. I ate, I did not eat. Those are four types of Shavuas you could take. Migdaka amar, ochel v'shelo achel, sh'achalti v'shelo achalti m'chlal, v'sh'ochel achel, d'achil namashma. The fact that the Mishnah enumerates two types of shua? One shua is sh'ochalucha, and one shalo ochalucha, means that these are two separate types of shua. One is a positive form, I will eat from you. One is that I will not eat from you. That matters that they're different. So how can you suggest in our Mishnah when it says sh'ochalucha, that means, I will not eat from you. Rabbi, that's not sh'ochel, shteiz b'shonot, mashmo. Sh'ochalucha has two meanings, depends on the context. The context will determine what the meaning of sh'ochalucha is, that I will eat from you is. So what are those two contexts? Hayu misarvim bo le'echol. There were his friends who were pressing him to come over and eat, or to come to the kiddush. Amar achilna achilna, I will eat. V'tu, and even a shvua shochel, and a shvua that I will eat. Then it means dachilna mashna, means that I will come and eat, meaning that they're bugging him to eat. He says, I'll eat shvua, I will eat. So that means positive. Ochel is positive. Oh, Amar, if he says to them, if not, they're bugging him to come to the Kiddush, they're bugging him to come over to eat, he says, no, lo achilna, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat. They do shvua shochel. Right? When I take a shvua that I will eat. Meaning, what does that mean? In that context, ochel means lochel. I will not eat. Shvua shochel means shvua that I will ever come and eat from you. Right? So meaning that I will not eat. Lochel kamar. So that's what Rabbi explains it. So it depends on the context. Ochel, depending on the context in which it's said, can either mean, yes, I will eat, or no, I will not eat. Meaning, shvua shochel means shvua that I will never come and eat from you. So that's the two, and that's the difference between the mission that we had in Shavuos. There, it's talking about ochel means literally to eat in the positive sense. And over here, in this mission over here, ochel means shalochel, that I will not eat. So that's the way that Abai explains it. Rav Ashi Amar, sheochel de shvua, she'i ochel kama. In the Mishnah, when it says sheochel, it doesn't mean, he didn't mean sheochel, but she'i ochel. E, right, e can mean not, right? So it says, she'i ochel, I will not eat. So that's what it says. Imkeim shita. Well, if he says, she'i ochel, that I will not eat, then what's the Gemara, you know? Alright, then what are you teaching us? Ela ma'ilam emra, ma'udatema, what I would thought, make him lishna he to itkale, that he was saying it fast, and he got caught. Meaning that he was really trying to say, she'i ochel, and that because he was saying it so fast, he said, she'i ochel. And then it sounds like, you know, the she'i ochel sounds like she'i ochel, and he didn't really mean to say, she'i, that I will not eat. He really meant to say, she'i ochel. So I thought maybe that's the case. Kamashma, no. Then when he says she ochel, that's the equivalent of saying lo ochel, that I did not eat. So that's Ravashi's explanation of our Mishnah. So Rabbi explains the Mishnah to say that she ochel, that mashon, can mean I will not eat. And Ravashi says no. He actually said I will not eat in the Mishnah, but he said it in a form that's not the normal form. She ochel versus lo ochel. Right? So Abaye lo amar tamke Ravashi. So Abaye did not, right? Did not explain our Mishnah like Rav Ashi. This is another good place to see where the Dharm is different than other Masechtot, right? In another Masechtot, it would just say, Abaye lo amar ke Rav Ashi, right? So now here, this word tam, that's not his lesson. So, Abaye lo amar tam ke Rav Ashi, to lo kadani, she yochel, right? That is not, the Mishnah did not say, yochel. I mean, that's Nukimta, that's something that Rav Ashi has to edit into the Mishnah, or amend the Mishnah to read she'i ochel in order to get to his conclusion. That's why Abai didn't like Rav Ashi's answer. Rav Ashi, nadi mitam de Abai, again, another, nadi mitam, another lashon that is probably unique, more unique to Nadarim. Rav Ashi, nadi mitam de Abai, what's nad? Nad means, nabanati abarit, right, to wander away. I moved away from the reasoning of Abai. He kind of slid over from the reasoning of Abai. Right? Kasava shelo ochel nami mashna shtei lishonos. That not only is ochel can be interpreted both ways, shelo ochel can also be interpreted both ways. Why? Hayu misarvin bo lechol. They were pushing him to come and eat, come to join the kiddush. V'amar lo achilna, lo achilna. And he says, no, I will not eat, I will not eat. V'amni shvua. Right? And he says, shvua, ben sheochel, ben shelo ochel. Right, whether he says ochel or not ochel, right? Hadein achilna mashma. Then it means that I will eat, right? The amar beika. All right, and then beika leterutz nami lishna de shvua shelo ochel shvua de lo achilna kamar. And I can also explain when I say shvua shelo ochel, when I say I will not eat shvua de lo achilna, means literally I will not eat. Right, tana paska sheochel de achilna mashma shelo ochel lo ochel mashma. Right, so then when the Tana came and explained the words ochel and lo ochel, he explained them in a context where ochel means I will eat, and shlo ochel means I will not eat. So that's what Rav Ashi rejected Abai's explanation, because he says that just like you have two interpretations of the word ochel, there are also two interpretations of the word. So how are you going to know what's going on in our Mishnah? We're going to assume when the Tana and the Mishnah uses both lishonos, that he literally means, ochel means the positive form, and shlochel means the negative form. And therefore, he didn't want to hold like a bio, who suggested that the ochel in our Mishnah could be interpreted otherwise. Okay. Alright, so just in this question over here, you have to understand what's the issue about, because that lashon was strange. He says, what, they're pushing him to come and eat, and then he says, lo achilna, lo achilna, right, I will not eat, and then he says, shvua, to lo achel. He says, shvua, shlo achel, and we said, that means he wants to eat. Why does shvua, shlo achel mean that he wants to eat? So that, So he, here, the Ryan says, it's actually on the next Omud, this Ryan, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to look inside. Doesn't mean that he thinks a Shavua that he will eat. That it's not really a Shavua that he will not eat. Right, because it was a strange lashon. If you wanted to do, set it up, the way Rav Ashi is explaining this Mishnah, if I explain the Mishnah, it's in a context where he says, I will eat, Shavua she'ochel, means I want to eat. I will not eat, I will not eat, Shavua she'ochel, means I will, Shavua that I will ever eat, meaning that I won't eat. But then Rav Ashi comes along and says, well, you know what, in lo'ochel, I can also explain it to you. They're pushing him to eat. He says, I will not eat, I will not eat, Shavua she'ochel, Shavua that I will not eat. And then he said, that means he wants to eat. I mean, why does he, what's the context and what he means there? So that's not what Rav Ashi says, and this is what the way the Ran explains is that means what Shavua she'ochel in that context does not mean a Shavua will not eat. It just means Shavua she'ochel means that it's not a Shavua at all. Right, he says, didn't I already say, I'll come and eat, I'll come and eat? So why, you know, the Shavua she'ochel is not going to take effect. It's very interesting, Moshan, because I don't, you know, it's very hard to understand what the Mishnah says. Even though he said, lo achilna. So, to me, it's strange. I don't know. The Ran tries to explain it this way. I'm not sure, right? I don't think he ever said it, because the Ran says, didn't I already tell you I did eat? I'm going to come and eat? But he didn't say that. He said, lo achilna, I'm not coming to eat. So I'm not sure what the Ran is explaining over here. I don't know if anybody has a suggestion, but it was difficult to me.
So in short, Rav Ashi doesn't do with the Abaye. Why? Because he says,
Ochel and Shlochel can both be interpreted both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in our Mishnah, how do you know which way it's going? And it's, you know, one way, it's clear that the first case is Shavua she'ochel, right, is going after that he does not eat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that if you're going to interpret the Mishnah, interpret each one in its proper in a way that you don't need the context to change the meaning. So lo'ochel is going to mean do not eat, and ochel is going to mean eat. Meaning that to try to switch around what the meaning is in the Mishnah, it's unusual. Alright, so Linya Alocha, just so you know, the Pesach Alocha, that the Rambam paskins like Abaye. Alright, the Rambam paskins like Abaye, explains the Mishnah to be, right, a case where Ochel can mean Shlo Ochel. And the Ramban paskins like Rav Ashi, that Ochel means Achilna, and Shlo Ochel means Lo Ochel. Meaning that you have to, whenever you use Ochel or Shlo Ochel, that's what it means. That is okay, right, that it's not gonna mean that.
I think the reason that he uses the
legend
of
Tom
over here is because of
everybody. That's a good play on the words. All right. Let's go. Now, the Mishnah says, next Mishnah, Zeh. All right, good. Zeh, Chomer, Vishvuos, Midibit Nidorin. This is the Chomer of Shvuos over Nidorin. So what is this? I mean, the Mishnah is continuing. What is the reference that it just made above to what? That this is something that is a chomer of Shavuos over Nidorim. So, what do we just see in the above Mishnayos that would tell you that it is, that it's a more chomer issue? Alright, so there's, we'll do it in the Gemara, I'm just pointing it out. Mishnah assumes that we know what they're talking about. What was the Shavua that's more chomer than a Nedarim? Now next. What's the chomer of a Neder over a Shavua? So this is the issue that Nedarim are chal ala mitzvah, where Shavua is not chal ala mitzvah. Right, b'shavuos motar she'ein nishbayim lavor ala mitzvah. Right, we had this ein nishbayim levatel at the mitzvah. Therefore, because ein shavua chal al shavua, and therefore, if you took a shavua with regards to a mitzvah, it has no impact. Whereas if you take a neder legabe the chepetz of the mitzvah, that does have impact, and you're allowed to take a neder legabe mitzvah, which the Gemara is going to discuss why. What is the difference between them? All right, so now first of all, let's understand the first line of the Mishnah. Chomer michlal the neder who. Right, when you say chomer, the first line when it says zeh chomer b'shavuos mididorim, sounds like what? This in shavuos is more chomer than it is by neder. So that makes sense, what? If the neder itself is chal. Meaning that the shavuos works, but a neder doesn't work as well. V'ha mutar k'tani. Our Mishnah above says mutar. So what would you suggest? You'd suggest that the Chomer, the Zeh, that the Mishnah was referring to was the previous two Mishnayos. One where we formulated as a neder, and one where you formulate this Mishnah, past Mishnah, where you formulated as a neder, and one where you formulated as a Shavua. So over here, when you say Shavua, Karban, Lo Chalucha, or Ha Karban, Sho Chalucha, Lo Karban, Lo Chalucha, those all don't work. That's Mutar. And whereas when you use the word Shavua with all those items, it does work. So that would be a Chumrah and Shavua over Nedarim. The problem when you use the term Chumrah, Chumrah implies that both work, just one is more stringent than the other. But the Mishnah, previous Mishnah said Mutar by Nedarim and said Asur by Shavua. So that doesn't sound like the right comparison. So the Mishnah says, oh, this refers to something else. And what is that? That is, it's Seifa de Idach Bava. It's the end of the previous Mishnah. What was the previous Mishnah? That was yesterday's daf, the Mishnah yesterday's. What was that? Shavua she'eni yashan, she'eni medaber, she'eni mahalech. Is also Zeh Chomer b'Shavua mi'midodarim. So that was the beginning of today's Mishnah, and also the end of yesterday's Mishnah. Yesterday's Mishnah said if you use neder by Shena, by speaking of a halicha, what's the din? Lo yachel devaro. It's osur mider abanan, but mutar min haTorah. And over here, you have Shavua. When you use the Shavua in these terms of any yashan, or any holech, or any medaber, it's a lashon works de oraisa. Now the lashon of chomer mi b'shavuos mi didarim makes sense. Why? Because in both cases they work. The neder or the shavua works when you talk about shena, when you talk about halicha or medaber. They both work. They work on different levels. The shavua works on a de oraisa level. The neder only works on a derabonan level. And that's when the Mishnah referred to zeh chomer mi b'shavuos mi didarim. That was referencing back to those cases in the Mishnah. Right, now the Gemara wants to know Chorim Le'er Mitzorim B'Shavuos Ketzad. So Rav Tana Matne, Rav Tana learns Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Rav Tivyumi Matne, he learns it was Amar Rav Gidol Amar Shmuel. So Rav Gidol said it. The question if he said it in the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel. Minayin She'ein Nishbayim Labor Al HaMitzvot. Right, how do you know She'ein Nishbayim Labor Al HaMitzvot? How do you know? I mean, our mission assumes that you cannot take a Shavua, right, to violate a mitzvah. Why is that? Tomer lomar, lo yachel devarot. Right, you're not allowed to, right, violate your word. Devarot lo yachel. Your word, when it comes to your issues, you're not allowed to violate. About mechahu lechepse shemayim. When it comes to a chepse shemayim, what are chepse shemayim? Mitzvos. So when it comes to mitzvos, you do violate your word. Right, and that means, lo yachel devarot, when you have a shvua, you're not allowed to violate the shvua. That's when the reason to violate the shavua is of your own accord, or for your own reasoning, but if there's another compelling reason, what's the other compelling reason? Chepsei shamayim, the Torah said to, that is not under the category of lo yachel divaro. Mar says, maishnat neder, dichtiv, by neder it says, ish ki dor neder lashem lo yachel divaro. So why do you say, why do you apply lo yachel divaro to shavua, more than you'd apply it to neder? Right? Lo yachel devaro has application both to neder and to shavua. So why do you darshan lo yachel devaro by shavua to mean his dibor, but not chepsei shemayim? Why don't you say the same thing by neder? So it says, shavua, so there the Gemara says, that's why maishna neder, because it says, ish kinyo neder la Hashem lo yachel devaro. And even when you take a neder la Hashem, you're not allowed to violate your word. So the difference between shvua and neder is the term lahashem. Lahashem means that by neder, even when you take a lahashem, even when it affects a mitzvah, lo yechel devaro. Smar says, shvua nami aktiv. What about shvua? It says, ohi shavah shvua lahashem, lo yechel devaro. The term lahashem is, what? Is also as application by shvua. So why are you drawing a distinction between shvua and neder based on lo yachel devaro? First of all, both of them have lo yachel devaro. Number two, both of them have lashem. So whatever drasha you're going to make by neder, you should make by shvua. Whatever you make by shvua, you should make by neder. Why should there be a distinction between them? So Amar Abaye says, no, depends how you formulate. The formulation of the neder is important here. Why? Hadam mar hanat suka alai. Here he says, if I am restricting the hanoah of sukkah on me, hadamar shavua shlo ene mit sukkah. The other one is that I say shavua, that I will not get any hanoah from sukkah. Amar Rabba, why should hanoah have any impact? What do we know? Bechi mitzvos lehanot, didn't you? Are you that, right? We never say that a mitzvah is lehanot, didn't you, right? Whenever you do a mitzvah, we don't assume the mitzvah is done because of the shame mitzvah, and therefore there is no hanah associated with that mitzvah. So even if you were to take a shvua that I should not get any hanah from sukkah, when I go and perform the mitzvah of sukkah, am I getting hanah? Answer is no, because I'm performing a mitzvah, because mitzvahs lav lehenos nitzvah. So why does formulating the shvua, the neder, in this form help you out at all? Both of them, even if you say that I'm sure I'm not going to get a no, you're not getting a no when you do the mitzvah. El Amar Rava, Rava explains to Gemara, Had Amar Yeshivat Sukkah Lai, Had Amar Shavush Lo Eshivat Sukkah. So then the Gemara says, well, it depends how you formulate the Shavuot. Why? If you say Yeshivat Sukkah Alai, right, the sitting on the Sukkah is what restricted to me, that is a nether. When he says, Had Amar Shavush Lo Eshivat Sukkah, it's a Shavuot that it will not sit in the sukkah, that works. Now, you can ask the same question, the Ryan asked this question. Why is Yeshuvat Sukkah Alai any different than Mitzvah Slav Lehenos Nitnu? Right, just, you restricted sitting in the sukkah on you. Right, but if Mitzvah Slav Lehenos Nitnu, then why can't you say the same thing by Shiva? When you sit in the sukkah, you're not, that's not Yeshiva in the sukkah, that's doing the mitzvah. That's not what you refer to in your nether. So why is that different than what we said above by Hanok? So the Ryan just draws a distinction. If you look down in the Ran, towards the bottom, you see the very, very wide lines in the Ran. The very wide lines in the Ran, if you take two lines up from that, it says Ve'im Tomar. There's a dot there that says Ve'im Tomar. You got it? Ve'im Tomar. Two lines up in the Ran, from the very, very wide lines in the Ran, it says Ve'im Tomar. V'chi amar Yeshivat Sukkah Alai. If he says Yeshivat Sukkah Alai, my hobby. Why does that help you? Right? Sukkah Alai, Havi Ha, Davar Shembo Mamashu. Right, that's something that doesn't have any, right, mamashu to it. Yishlomar, the hachamai eskinim, tomar, konim sukkah lishiva ta'alai. So first of all, he has to say, what's konim lishiva? Yishuka. So in order to get it to be a nether, first of all, you can't say yeshiva, because sitting is an intangible item, so a nether won't be chal on that. So you have to say, konim sukkah, which is a physical object, lishiva ta'alai, that I will not sit in it. Right, so. V'rova lochash natrutzei lashon ana. He didn't explain it fully. Damar bai, aval einachanayim, domar sukkah lishiva ta'askinim. Right, so that, now, Aval B'Tosfot Amru, in Tosfot it says, Shafil Omar Koneim Yeshivat Sukkah Alai, even if he uses Yeshivat Sukkah Alai, Mahani. Zabo Mikri Darashim Bo Mamash, El Sheinu Maskar Shema Chayfet She'oser Alav. That's amazing. Tosfot and the Ran here distinguish between, right, it's a very important distinction. When we say a nether, it can only be Chal on a Chayfet, right? That, what does that mean? It can only be chal on a chayfet. So the Ran says that you have to give a tangible item in order to be. So when I say, you have to say sukkah, right? That I'm going to say, that I'm oser, the sukkah, yeshiva sukkah alai. Right? That I sukkah yeshiva alai, that I call him sukkah yeshiva alai. So the focus of the netter is on sukkah, which is a tangible item. Tosfos says no. That even when you talk about intangible items, as long as you mention a tangible item in your netter, that's sufficient. So when you say, call him yeshiva sukkah alai, that's okay. Why? Because I mentioned the sukkah. Even though that's not the focus of my nether, that's enough. And the same thing by konim einai l'shena. Right, over there, you can also say, it's not that I'm focusing on the eyes, because I mentioned eyes, which are tangible items, I can talk about an intangible item. It's a very interesting distinction between a nether and between the Ran and the Tosfos here about how you have a nether bichal. That's one distinction, one important distinction about why it works here.
And especially going back to, Rabbi Meir. You know, about a monetary item.
Right.
That's where it could be, you know, right.
The chayfet.
So even just mentioning the chayfet gives it now, according to this, you know, a monetary aspect.
Right. That's Tosfos. It's very interesting explaining Tosfos. Now, one more. Skip down. If you skip down from where we were just running the Moran, skip down three lines. It's 5 lines from the bottom of the Ran. 5 lines from the bottom of the Ran, it says V'im Tomar. Middle of that line. Right below where it says Da'pehe Amud Bet in the Ran. Right below where it says Da'pehe Bet Amud Bet in the Ran. V'im Tomar. Afilu Kyamar Yeshiva Tsukalai Lama Asur B'Yeshiva Shel Mitzvah. Even when he says Yeshiva Tsukalai, why do you restrict the Yeshiva? Why came into Mitzvah's Lav Lehenos, didn't you? And Mitzvah is not given Lehenos. Hari Eno Nene Minasukul Klau. He doesn't get any benefit from the sukkah at all. Teretzu b'tosfos, dimikom akom, kevan de osu yeshivata alav, Right, since he asked the yeshiva on himself, Abba Yishin Labo Hana Klal, if he gets no Hana Klal. So when he says, I'm restricting yeshiva to me, right, that means that not only am I restricting getting any benefit from sitting, it means sitting at all. Even if I get no benefit from that sitting, it's restricted to me. And therefore, it'll apply even in the face of a mitzvah here, because even though mitzvah is lav le'enos didn't do, if you're sitting, then you're still, what? You're still getting a problem.
How are we getting around the whole problem that you can't prohibit yourself to do something that the Torah obligates you to do?
But that's a distinguishment. That's what they're pointing out here. The Gemara is pointing out that there's a difference in the formulation here, because one, when I'm taking a shavua, I'm restricting myself in doing the mitzvah of sukkah. If I restrict myself in doing the mitzvah, I'm mushvav omen mehar sinai. When I take a neder, I'm focused on the object of sukkah, and I'm restricting the sitting in this sukkah or in the sitting of the sukkah alive, which is not that I will not perform the mitzvah of sukkah, right? But I'm focusing on the object, not on the gavra, which is obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah.
But the net result.
Right. The result is, but that's
yourself from,
right. But that's only, that's what the Gemara says. En shvuah chal shvuah is when you, as a gavra, right? That's the point. The point is, the Gemara says, look, shvuah neder should work the same. Lo yichal dvaro el Hashem. That's exactly right. The difference is exactly that. The difference is who ain't that ain't ishbayin ala mitzvos. Right? Shvuah en shvuah chal shvuah means when I say something that's changed, what I want to go up against that which the Torah says. I take a shvuah that pits me against the Torah's lashon. That is, so even though, again, the result will be that I can't do the mitzvah, that shvuah is not caught by a neder, even though the result will be I cannot do the mitzvah, but the neder is not about me, so I'm still obligated in the Torah to do the shvuah. I've done something that will prevent me from doing a mitzvah, but that I did not take a shvuah that goes against what the Torah says. So that's exactly what the Mars after here, the formulation that the changes
in
the way
it works. Okay, good. So it's not against the being shvuah chal shvuah. But just, you know, forgetting about that, you're still creating that result that you're preventing yourself from doing what the Torah obligates you to do.
Right, but the nether is not a nether. That's in order for the nether to chal. Over there we say the shvuah is not even chal. Right?
You can also lock yourself in a room and throw away the keys. You can't go to, you can't come until in the morning. In other words, the Torah doesn't preclude the possibility of a person preventing himself from observing mitzvah. You just can't place a shvuah on top of a shvuah.
Well, you can't do where you're going against, literally against what the Torah says, by your word against the Torah's word, that you can't do. But if you create circumstances in which you can't perform the mitzvah, that's not, the more important thing is that
but I think the difference between you're physically unable to do it and...
But that's what a nether is apparently.
And it's creating a circumstance where you can't perform the mitzvah.
Alright,
so that's, again, the distinguishment here again is this idea that again the shvuah is not even chal. When you take a shvuah, the battle of the mitzvah, the shvuah has no impact. Whereas a neder, what we're talking about here is that the neder is chal and it works. I mean, why can't it work? The neder can work because the neder is not going straight up against what the Torah says. Even though the result in the end will be that it does ruin what your ability to do what the Torah says, but that allows the neder to be chal. Once the neder is chal, then there's a result that you can't do the mitzvah. The shvuah, you can't even get to a point where the shvuah is chal to prevent you from doing the mitzvah. So that's the distinction between them. Now, the Gemara gives one more. The Tanya, the Gemara says, do we really learn out from there? That's why Shvuah doesn't work by a mitzvah? We have another resource for this. The Tanya, right, that if you take a Shvuah to not do a mitzvah, I think you'd be chayav, meaning that for violating your Shvuah, that you didn't not do the mitzvah. If you take a Shvuah, I will not put on tefillin. And then you went ahead and put on tefillin. And I think, but do you get malchus for that? Tamalomar lahara ulehetev. Right? By shvuah says you can lahara ulehetev. What does lahara ulehetev mean? Lahara ulehetev means positive or negative. Ochel shelo ochel. Ma hatava rishus av hara'a rishus. Just like hatava, that which you can do in a positive action is only things that what rishus, where you have the ability to do it. Av hara'a, when you say I'm not going to do it, has to be stuff that you have the ability to make that decision about. That you don't have such a right. Mara says, well, you need both pasukim. One pasuk, right, that's written by korban. That's what, that captures you from being a korban when you violate such a shvuah. And one of them takes away the lav of shvuah. That you're not chayov, right, that you will not be... Chayov lo yechel devaro, right? So you have two psukim about shvuah. One's the Ra'at Teiv that teaches you about korban, the obligation to bring a korban, you violate the shvuah, and one's the Lav that tells you that if you do, you're not allowed to violate your word. So both of those are going to be patur for both from two different libudim. One libud is Ra'at Teiv, that you have to have the ability, reshus, where you have choices to do such things. And the other one is by, right, lo yechel devaro, it's your dibur that's not mechel, but chefzei shamayim can be mechel devaro. So that's the Gemara's conclusion over here. I just point out here that when we say mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and other places, it's a machlokas in Rishonim, when we say mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu, I mean, what does that mean? Right? It's a very interesting distinguishment. Over here we're saying that you could sit in the sukkah, and then we could say that it's lav lahen, mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu. So, for instance, what happens if a person is not allowed to not allowed to wash themselves, right? And then they end up and they go to the mikvah, right? And we say they not mitzvah lav lahenos nitnu. He's supposed to go to the mikvah to become tahor, and yet he goes and he's not allowed to wash himself. So, do we say mitzvah lav lahenos nitnu and he can go to the mikvah, or do we say that now he's getting hanah? So, the Rishonim have two ways to learn that mitzvah lav lahenos nitnu. That some Rishonim say that mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu means that you don't get hanaf. We don't assume that when you're doing something, you're not getting hanaf from the mitzvah. But if there is a mitzvah where you're definitely getting hanaf from it, right, that is a problem. That you can't. I think it's the Rosh, some of the others that say that if you're actually getting hanaf from the mitzvah, then that is hanaf. Even though mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu doesn't change hanaf into no hanaf. That just says that if we have a general understanding it when you're doing that mitzvah, that's not lav mitzvah. But if it's so obvious that you're getting hanah from that mitzvah, then we do consider it hanah. Right? That's what, so mitzvah's lav lanos nitnu means, that's a general stance, but if you get hanah, that is hanah, and then you'd be restricted from doing such a thing. And the Gemara in other places where it says, like, mitzvah's lav lanos nitnu means, we don't let you do a mitzvah like this. Other Rishonim believe that even when you're getting hanah, right? Even when you're getting hanah, we still say mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu. It turns hanah, benefit, into no benefit. I mean, it has the ability to change the status of what you're doing into no benefit. According to those Rishonim, why can't you do certain items? Like, for instance, the Gemara will restrict you from doing them even when you get hanah directly. They'll say it's because maybe you'll stay in beyond the level of the mitzvah. I mean, that if you were aiming, the mitzvah is going to be mikuyam. And if you went to the mikvah over here, you sit in the sukkah, and you get it. You're making mitzvah sukkah, and then you stay on. Sukkah is a little difficult one because you keep sitting in the sukkah, right? It doesn't work as well because the mitzvah continues. But in other circumstances where the mitzvah will end,
right? Mitzvah is a good chance.
Right. So where the item will end, the mitzvah is completed, and then you could stay in longer. There's a possibility that you may stay past the point of the mitzvah, and that hanah we can't deal with. So when it says mitzvah lav lahenos nitnu, it means literally there is no hanah. Even when you're getting hanah, it's not hanah. So why do we don't let you do certain mitzvahs where you're getting hanah, where there's a problem? We say because, you may stay a little longer, you might do something beyond the scope of the mitzvah, and that will bring you to a point of hanah, and will create the problem. So just something to keep in mind here. It's interesting when you say mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu, right, that, what does that mean? Right, is that a literal statement, or is that a statement that, I mean, literally, that it changes hanah into no hanah, or does it mean, in general, where there is no hanah, we assume that you're not getting hanah from the mitzvah?